Mike, I have no idea what you are referring to, and if I have done this so many times, why don't I remember? Woman technician, you are involved with an invisible society, a secret society, and it must remain that way. We've had a few glitches this time around and you are still alive only because you have one hell of a powerful team working on your behalf. Those men were meant to eliminate you, instead you only ended up with a bump on your head. Someone had put a block on the communications implant you have in your body, and for a brief time we lost contact with you. Mike, so how did you find me? Woman technician, we activated a backup implant, but because they can monitor implant signals, we waited until the last minute and made our move. Mike, so games continued to be played even at these levels. Woman technician, it's more complicated than that. Human bodies, which are nothing more than complex machines, have antibodies built in to fight off germs and other intruders. Physical entities, regardless of how complex and advanced, remain subject to viruses. For instance, silicon-based electronic computers are susceptible to viruses and a host of other maladies. Mike, is that why Milton isn't in constant communication with me? Woman technician, partly. He is constantly changing his telepathic frequencies to remain incognito. Remove all your clothing, Michael, and lay down on the table, on your back, please. Mike takes off his clothes and gets on the table. Two androids come into the room. One of the androids clamps Mike's arms to the table and the other clamps Mike's legs. Mike, is this necessary? You are freaking me out. Woman technician, I told you to relax, and look on the screen on the wall to your right. The screen displays an X-ray of Mike's abdomen. There are several objects inside his intestinal tract. Mike, how did those things get in my gut? Jesus Christ, people, are you telling me that I'm nothing more than a courier of alien objects? Woman technician, your body synthesizes certain enzymes, it's a unique machine you are in possession of, that's partially why you are in this program. The android that clamped down Mike's legs directs a probe that came out from the bottom of the surgical table and inserts it into Mike's rectum. Mike squirms and tries to pull loose from the table, yells obscenities, and before he knew it, the procedure is over. Woman technician, look at the screen, Michael, the items are out. Now that didn't hurt much, did it? Mike, more obscenities, then, no, it didn't hurt, but the whole idea is repulsive, thank you. Woman technician, all in a day's work, Michael, I didn't think it was repulsive, after all, the human body is simply a machine, no different than the android. Emotions and desires are programs installed into the human brain. And you are a soul in the cockpit of the machine. Your soul, you, are simply pushing buttons inside the control room, your brain, but you are not your brain or your body. Mike, are you finished playing with my machine? Or is there more? Do I get cargo for the return trip also? Woman technician, no cargo from me, but that's not to say you are returning to Earth empty. They will probably block that memory if they do insert items in your abdomen, but I'm not blocking this memory because Milton told me to leave it intact. Woman technician, while you are on the table, I would like to extract semen from you, the natural way. Have any objections, Michael? Not waiting for Mike to answer, she slips out of the robe, revealing a gorgeous body. Mike's attitude quickly changes and he is under her seductive spell. The androids remove Mike's shackles holding him to the table and they exit the room. Mike, God, you are beautiful. And he reaches up and takes her arm and pulls her onto the table, which automatically lowers to the floor, and they roll around on the soft floor embraced in passionate ecstasy. Moments later, and after copulation, they remain embraced. Mike, are you presently seeing anyone? I mean, are you married or have someone special in your life? Woman technician, I'm not that kind of girl. I have a modified human body, but I'm not human, neither are you, Michael. But I think you know that. How much you know, I'm not sure. Mike, I was allowed to remember a brief period of my life in the Tube City, and I remember going to Earth and being inserted into this body 2 weeks after it was born. Woman technician, your semen from this encounter will produce triplets, two males and a female. I will not carry the babies to term. The embryos will be inserted into three women in this city and they will carry the babies to term. I, as well as you, have the fun and easy part, don't you agree? Mike, I'm liking it. So I have a modified human body as you do, and these bodies propagate behind the scenes without the knowledge of real humans? Will humans ever know about this? Woman technician, there are some humans that suspect something is amiss because of abduction stories about missing fetuses, and the taking of sperm and ova, but the general population will remain in the dark about it. She gets up and pulls Mike up and while holding his hand leads him to a room with a shower stool in it, takes him into the shower and washes him down. Mike returns the favor. The warm water in the shower makes it seem like heaven and soon they are embraced and making intense love again. Mike between kissing, do I have to go back to Earth? Please say number, woman technician, this is a freebie, Michael, and is frowned upon by the higher ups. Yes, you have to go back to Earth, but not until I'm through with you. The water in the shower stops and the shower glows brightly for a few seconds and they are instantly dry. They walk out of the shower. The woman holding Mike's hand leads him into an adjacent room. It looks like a kitchen area. She leads him to a chair and he sits. They remain naked. She goes to a refrigerator and takes out a bottle of liquid and gives it to him to drink. Mike, what is it? Woman technician, nectar reserved for the gods. Try it, you will love it. Mike, I'm a god. Woman technician, you were in the shower, giggles. Mike takes a drink and jumps up from his chair, unable to restrain his joy from the first sip of the liquid. Mike, woo-oo-oo-oo, and then takes another mouthful of the precious drink. Mike, this isn't going to hurt me, is it? How much of it can I drink? Woman technician, you can drink as much as you want, the fridge is full of it. Mike between gulps, how come you are not drinking any of this stuff? Woman technician, I'm on the clock. Mike, do you usually walk around naked on the job? Woman technician, only when I want to keep someone aroused. Are you aroused, Michael? Mike is sitting back on his chair and she walks over to him holding something in her clasped hand. She stops inches in front of him, her breast nearly touching his face. Woman technician, do you want to suckle from them? Mike sets his drink on the table and is all over them as if they are manna from heaven. Mike is at the boiling point of arousal and she pulls away and puts the objects she is holding seductively into his mouth one at a time with her fingers and closes his lips. Woman technician, swallow them, Michael. He does as she says. He is intoxicated with sexual ecstasy and the drink. She gives him a passionate kiss, pulls away and hands him back his drink. Woman technician, drink all of it, Michael. Mike upends the cup and empties it, hands it back to the woman. But before he can ask for more, he melts into her arms. He is out cold. Cut to, EXT. One of Uranus' moons, late a small alien outpost consisting of a dozen glass domed structures, interspersed within a 10-acre area. They are not connected to each other. Mike is lying on a bed in one of the domes. The domes are different sizes, from 20 feet in diameter to 60 feet. Mike is alone in one of the small domes. Dissolve to, INT. Inside dome, continuous Mike regains consciousness and through the dome he has a grand view of the planet Uranus. Mike loudly, my god. It just keeps getting better. This is the best view of the planet he has had so far. Mike has full recollection of his episode with the woman technician, but he has no memory of traveling to that moon. He looks at his watch and it's about an hour past the last time he remembered looking at it, moments before he was probed. Mike feels great, no after effects of that alien wine he drank, and remains reclined on the bed admiring the planet and its spectacular rings. A few minutes pass and Mike sees Milton's ship hovering above his dome, off to the side. It appeared from nowhere. It moves closer to the dome and the edge of the craft touches the glass dome. Where it touches, a seal is created and then an opening. Mike remains laying on the bed intently watching this miracle unfold before him. Milton jumps out and slowly lands next to where Mike is. Milton is in his alien costume. Mike, why would I want to go back to my life on Earth after what I have seen and experienced today? Milton, I can erase all of it from your memory if you like. Mike, no. That is if I can keep the memory I want it. Milton, good. Because we want you to keep these memories, they are part of your assignment on Earth. I will go into it in more detail later. Mike, what are humans doing on Uranus? Milton, same as they are doing on Earth and other planets and moons, in this solar system and millions of other solar systems, learning to find and define their place in the galaxy. Some will do it in the course of a few lifetimes, others in several lifetimes, some will not make it and be put into storage for special treatment, some indefinitely. Mike, put into storage? Are you talking about souls? Milton, your soul is anchored to your body. Without a body, the soul would be free to go wherever it wishes. The body is a prison that is escape-proof short of death. But there is a loophole. Furthermore, no one dies until they are allowed to die. Suicides are returned to another body somewhere in this solar system, unless there is an acceptable reason for the act. You, Michael, are on assignment and will return to Uranus once it is complete and you die. And after a short time you will be leaving this solar system altogether and going to a double star system deep in the interior of this galaxy. Mike, how is it possible to travel those kinds of distances? Milton, it isn't possible while in a human body. Mike, so I have to die before I leave the solar system? Milton, no, you only have to leave your body behind until you return. Milton exits his body and it falls to the floor like a rubber suit. Milton is now a brilliant orb of energy about the size of a baseball floating next to the bed Mike is lying on. Mike jumps off the other side of the bed and stands there looking at Milton as if he is looking at a ghost. Mike, how much of this can my mind take in one day? Milton, if you were a normal human, I would have had to scrape you off the wall after the first encounter on Earth. But you came from an advanced stage with a purpose and a mission, and you can handle these things. Your mission would be compromised had you known who you were, because if you knew, then others would know and they would have stopped you and us from completing our work. And the work is never done. Mike, now that I know a lot more than I did yesterday, what is to stop them, whoever they are? Milton, you are nearing the end of your mission and we will have to take our chances with the little info we have given you. The only way I can describe them is a two-party political system like you have in America. Both parties want the same thing for the American people, but they disagree on the method. It's actually more complicated than that, but until you are higher up there is no way you will understand. Mike, I'm standing here talking to a glowing ball of light. What more is there to understand? Milton, it gets better. Are you ready to take off your ball and chain? Mike, is that a euphemism for you are going to kill me? Milton, dying is the only other way to get out of that body you are in. But I have the authority, the key to open your brain and release you from the tethers holding you in there without killing you. Mike, the whole idea is freaking me out. Can I have some of that wine that woman gave me back on Uranus before you do it? It made everything feel so good. I had no cares, no fear, as I do now. Milton, you won't feel a thing. Milton pops next to Mike, touches Mike's head, Mike's body drops to the floor and two glowing balls are in the dome next to each other. Mike, my mind feels the same, but I am much lighter. I presume the crumpled up body on the floor was me? It doesn't look like me. Should you lay it on the bed or something? Milton, yes, let's. You grab the arms and I will get the legs. Mike, grab with what? I'm a freaking fuzzy ball of light, for crying out loud. Milton moves towards Mike's human body laying on the floor and grabs his legs. Mike floats around the room, gently bouncing off the glass dome and back to the floor and up again towards the dome. He is like a loose basketball in slow motion, but much smaller. Milton, when you get through monkeying around, you can give me a hand with your body, Michael. Mike, how do I control my direction? Milton, oh, that's right, you have never done this before. Focus on where you want to be and you are there. Mike slowly drifts near, his body hits the floor like a bank shot on a pool table and drifts back up towards the ceiling. Milton picks up Mike's body by the legs and lifts him off the floor. Mike's limp body dangles from a ball of light. Milton positions Mike's head on one end of the bed and slowly maneuvers the rest of the body onto the bed. The moon they are on has very little gravity, but the artificial gravity inside the dome is similar to that on the planet Uranus, which is slightly less than that of Earth, but enough to provide a sense of normality to humans. Mike is up against the glass at the dome's apex, simultaneously looking at Uranus and watching Milton. Mike, cool. I can see in panorama. But what's keeping me from going through the glass? It feels like a solid surface. But aren't we like ghosts? Shouldn't we just pass through things? Milton, you can't see yourself, but you are the size of a quarter. The level of awareness determines our energy aura. You are twice that of the average person on Earth, but considerably less than where you need to be to attain autonomy. You will achieve it in your next stage, not Uranus, but the place you will go soon after you return to Uranus once your assignment is complete on Earth. Mike, so Freud was right, size does matter? Milton, you should have been a comedian. Michael, you are good at it. But yes, size makes all the difference when it comes to knowledge and awareness. You can penetrate the glass barrier by willing yourself through it, but then what? You will drift into space. You might be able to find your way back to places you have been on Earth and Uranus, but then what would you do? Haunt your old hangouts. Mike, are you saying that ghosts are people without guides, souls lost in space? Milton, they are entities without a destination, they are lost, but there is more to it, and an item you will learn more about in your next phase of existence. Suffice it to say that you need a guide like me now that you are out of your body. Without a destination, we drift helplessly, regardless if you are in a physical form or a freaking ball of fuzzy energy, as you put it. I'm going to take you across the galaxy to a star system many hundreds of light years away, so stay close if you don't want to get lost. Mike, don't mess with my fuzzy ball mind, Milton. Seriously, you wouldn't leave me behind if I became separated from you somehow. You did lose track of me while I was on Uranus, remember? Milton, I never lost track of you, Michael. That was a ploy to throw others off the trail. Besides, you are not free to go anywhere on your own while out of your body. You are under my charge and responsibility. You couldn't get away from me even if you tried. You can only drift away from me perhaps 100 feet in any direction before hitting an invisible barrier. In essence, you are chained to me for your protection. Mike, that information, although somewhat reassuring in this big vacuum of never-ending darkness, is nevertheless an ego buster. Milton, follow me, Michael. Milton moves through the glass of the dome as if it wasn't there. Mike follows, squinting as he nears the glass, anticipating that he will bounce off it. Instead, he plops through it. Milton flies around Uranus into its atmosphere and out again. Then he goes through the rings with Mike in tow. They circle around each moon, going low to the surface on some of them. Mike, this is too much. I feel like a god. I'm in heaven. Thank you, Milton. Milton, don't thank me, I just work here. Mike, so, we are going to travel great distances without a ship. Milton, ships slow you down. Nothing travels faster than the free spirit. However, there are many kinds of ships. Some travel intergalactic by making dimensional leaps, some use magnetic wave, and there are a number of other exotic means of getting physical matter from point A to point B. But the movement of matter requires much energy, and moving matter great distances is not necessary. Matter is everywhere and it can be manipulated on location. Cut to, EXT. Full view of Mars from space, continuous two orbs, Milton and Mike in orbit around the planet Mars. Mike, oh, how did we get here so fast? So you blink and we're there? Milton, we can fly like Superman and travel slowly through the solar system, take the scenic route, which I recommend when you have more time, but we are on a schedule, so I'm blinking our way across the solar system. Is there any planet you would like to see before we shoot out towards the center of the Milky Way, Michael? Mike, take me to the stars, Milton. Cut to, EXT. Supercluster of stars. Continuous in an instant, Milton and Mike are 99.5% to their destination. They are 5 light-years from a solar cluster and many thousands of light-years away from Earth. They are deep into the darkness of space and quite a distance from any objects like planets, moons or stars except for the cluster. The cluster contains thousands of stars and the whole area glows as one. Joy beyond human comprehension engulfs Michael, and his quarter-size aura blazes like a supernova into the size of a basketball. Milton, this whole cluster of stars and the thousands of planets that encircle them is the Disney World of the Milky Way galaxy. If you could imagine heaven from the perspective of a human mind and multiply that by 1,000, you would be near the reality of those who live here. This is a destination all souls from planets like Earth long to achieve. However, this is not the pinnacle of existence. Not even near it. This is a physical paradise, and there are many dimensions of physical and spirit-type realities above this one that reside here. This place is also used as a staging area where many of the people who leave Earth and Earth-type planets will come for a short time. And most will be sent to other planets in the galaxy or back to Earth. A lucky few will remain indefinitely or until they move higher up the ladder. Mike, why do I get to see all this? Why am I privy to the things you are sharing with me? Milton, there are forces that don't want this information in the open. And there are others that feel the people of Earth are ready for this knowledge, not everything but the basics, that life exists in many places in the solar system. We, the entities I work with, want faster technological growth, the others don't. We are in a vicious stage over ideals such as these. We have sustained heavy losses on our side. I have taken you out here to protect your physical life. You are a vessel, a container as are thousands of others on Earth, where we keep certain DNA information and pertinent mental imaged knowledge, that is retrieved by us for use on Earth. Mike, if I understand this correctly, I and others like me are part of a shell game between your forces and the others. You hide information within us and shuffle us around so that we remain concealed. Tell me, Milton, do you and those in your group try and infiltrate the other side with the same zeal? Milton, we have made you difficult to track down, but we have covered our bets by hiding similar information in others. Nevertheless, each have unique information which can only be deciphered with the correct combination of individuals as yourself, so we keep you people scattered all over the solar system. We increased our efforts to shield you and the rest these last few years, even going as far as exposing you as a bluff to throw them off your tacks. We don't operate as they do. They are attempting to keep information and technology out of Earth or slow it down significantly, and so they have nothing to hide other than their motives. Mike, is this a galactic cold war? And if I were captured, what would they do with me? Milton, that's a fair analogy. Unfortunately, our cold wars never end. If you are captured, they will most likely attempt to put you in storage for a certain period. They could kill your body, but then your soul would be freed and you could join us on a higher level. And they don't want that. Mike, why couldn't they capture my soul like you have? For instance, you have taken me out of my body and now I'm tethered to you. Milton, they can't capture your soul, they lack the authority and capability to do so. Every entity or soul, if you wish, is classed. You, Michael, are at a level that they cannot hold on to, but they can capture your physical form and hold you for a certain amount of time, while they attempt to erase information from you and destroy anything you are carrying inside of you. Cut to, EXT. A multiple star system, continuous in a blink. Milton takes Mike to a planet with multiple suns revolving around each other like the innards of an atom. The planet they are going to, as is Uranus, is on the furthest orbit in that particular solar system. There are 20 planets and hundreds of moons in the system. A flurry of interplanetary travel is going on, with many types of colorful ships coming and going to and from the moons, space cities and other planets in that multiple solar system. The ships of various sizes look like strings of confetti at a New York parade from Mike's vantage point above the planet. Mike, is there something going on down on the planet, or is that normal traffic? Milton, this is typical traffic. Are you ready to join in the fun, Michael? They drop like lead weights from thousands of miles above the planet and enter into a cube-type structure. Inside the cube are several swarms of entities of various degrees of luminosity swarming like bees around a hive. Milton heads for one of the swarms with Mike in tow. It's an orgy of pure love, happiness and fulfillment. Mike instantly remembers those in the swarm. They are friends and family from other lifetimes and places during his existence in the galaxy. Communication is phenomenal. He is in contact with each individual in the swarm all at the same time. He is fully aware of hundreds of entities and they are fully aware of him. It's non-stop pleasure, no disagreements, no misunderstanding. It is social engagement in pure form. Some are there briefly, a short break from their lives on other worlds, as is Mike. Others have been there for hundreds or thousands of Earth years. Mike feels as if he never really left, like he woke up from a dream. The swarm is a family reunion that never ends. Individuals come and go like electrons from an atom. But the nucleus remains intact. Millions of such cubes cover the planet. Outside of the cubes are many physical kinds of bodies as well as many levels of spirits. Every conceivable way of life is represented on the planets and moons in that solar system as well as on the millions of other solar systems in the cluster. Mike realizes that Milton is family and one with a very close attachment to him. He also realizes that he is not tethered to Milton and is free to go wherever he pleases. Mike fades away from the party and instantly goes to one of his favorite places on that planet. He finds himself in a luxurious house, with marble columns and fabulous paintings on the walls. The house is reminiscent of the Renaissance period in Florence, Italy. Mike remains a radiant being but feels as if he is inside of a body like the one he has on Earth. He looks and sees his hands, and he walks as if he has legs. He walks out into the courtyard. There are trees and gardens, birds chirping and butterflies dancing in the midst of flowers. The suns shine brightly in the noon sky. Mike spots a woman tending the garden and walks over to her. She looks up with a large smile on her face and grabs Michael's face and kisses it all over. "Woman in garden Michael, I heard you were here and I summoned you to come visit and here you are. How wonderful you look." "Mike, grandmother. It's been ages, yet now it seems only yesterday that I was playing in your garden as a child. You look the same as you did back then, young, beautiful and full of energy. Grandmother, it's a pity you must leave so soon, but your time away is short and you will be back here for a long time. I'm looking forward to your quick return, Michael. There are so many things we must talk about." Mike's grandmother sees him in a physical form as if he were in his physical body. "Mike, where is grandfather? Does he live with you?" "Grandmother, he is living on another planet in the galaxy and will not be released for another 50 Earth years. I don't know at this time if he will come here or go to another life. I visit him sometimes in his dreams." "Mike, but you are in a physical body, can you also travel in the spirit?" "Grandmother, I can with the assistance of family members like Milton, the same way you are here with me now. You do know that you are in my dream right now, don't you?" Mike is stunned at hearing that. "Mike, I'm only a dream to you?" "Grandmother, not like dreams on Earth, Michael. When we dream we are awake, we don't sleep here. Nevertheless, I'm in a physical state and you are a spirit. But I can see and touch your spirit as if you were in a physical body. It's impossible to explain these things to you, your mind remains blocked from most things until you return to this place." "Mike, do you miss Grandpa, your husband, while he is away?" "Grandmother, sorrow has no place in this plane of existence because no one really departs. It's no different than someone on Earth going off to work and then returning that evening. Time has no relevance either. We exist in a blissful state, enjoying the company of family as I am now with you, and doing the things that I love, like attending my flower gardens. I also enjoy beautiful artwork and architecture, and as you can see I surround myself with the things I love. Everyone here does." She kisses him and gives him a big hug and he is instantly transported back to Milton. Mike speaking to Milton, "I'm sad that I didn't get more time to speak with grandmother. Couldn't I have stayed just a little longer?" "Milton, it is not allowed, but the moment she realized you were here she insisted on seeing you and she brought you to her." "Mike, why wasn't she in the swarm with the other family members?" "Milton, the family is much larger than what was in the swarm. You have family in many places and on many levels, both physical and spirit domains. Your grandmother remains in a physical region by choice, on a planet in this system that is nearer to the sun." Milton retracts from the swarm and Mike is pulled with him. Mike is once again attached to Milton. They pause above the planet briefly. Mike feels the pain of departure that inflicts many when they part from loved ones. "Mike, do you feel the sadness I am feeling right now, Milton?" "Milton, I feel the pain for you, but I am with them much of the time. I am not departing from them as you are. You are returning to a world where many live in darkness. In my world I am never far from the light of family love. I do my job and at the end of the day I know everything is good regardless of the outcome on places such as Earth. In your present state of existence much remains hidden from you, Michael. But that's all by design. However, you now know parts of the big picture and you will retain these memories when I return you to Earth, a rare privilege." Cut to INT. Inside dome on Uranus moon, continuous Mike's body is sleeping soundly on the bed. Mike, do I have to go back into that thing? Milton, afraid so. You have work to do and it will not get done until you do it.